My name's Melinda Rankin, and I'm the director at Fabric Arts and Heritage, which is an emerging arts and heritage hub out on Perimankangana land in Lobethal in the Adelaide Hills.
Emerging?
Emerging in that we're working in the raw spaces of the old Onkapringa Woolen Mill, and the buildings are still pretty, most of them are pretty raw still, and we've been operating for 3 years in every space we can, but we're on the verge of a big redevelopment.
And is it the actual old mill?
Yes. So, and that mill, it takes up quite a lot of landscape in Lobethal, so it's quite a lot of area. So that made the blankets, the Onkapringa blankets.
I remember them. They were always pink and green, generally striped.
Yes,
they're
really distinctive, aren't they? Yeah. And whenever we get out some of the old ones or some of the patterns, everyone's going, oh, that one's, I had the pink one and I really wanted the orange one. We had the brown one. So there's always these conversations that come back for those, that generation. And I think the younger generation who didn't grow up with them they're the ones looking for them in op shops and are making cool things out of them.
Vintage
blankets.
And they still live on, do they, those blankets?
We're finding ones that people in their 70s, they've got ones that their parents had, and they all come with stories. So we're just starting to gather some of those stories too, they were given it for their wedding anniversary. And there's just so many different stories around the blankets because they were really well made, and so they've lasted really well as well.
So that mill would have a million stories, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. And we're just starting to gather them now. So many stories, and so many blankets were made there and went out. There's this diaspora of blankets as well that we want to find out. Well, where are they all now? Because they all started in Lobethal, all of those. It's quite a significant thing. And there was a brewery there on the site in Lobethal, and the brewer decided he'd stop making beer. And some weavers from Handorf, some German weavers, set up the Lobethal Tweed Factory. And that was the beginning of the weaving there that kept, and then it just kept growing and had different names over the years, but the Onkapringa Woolen Mill is probably what it's best known for. It just grew and grew and became the main industry of the town, but the main kind of focus of the town too, of Lobethal. And there's different stories around migration as well. So it links with people, coming over after the war, migrants that were, they lived in Adelaide, but were bussed out and stayed in Inverbrakey, which is now an army place. And they stayed there during the week and worked and were brought back to the city afterwards. So there's a whole lot of different, threads. Sorry for the pun, but so many threads around the way that's going into people's lives.
Yeah. So would there have been a demographic of people who sort of constantly worked there?
Yeah, certainly the local people. So there were generations. There's been a book written about the history of the mill and all these names of people there, and you can see there are generations of people. So they passed on some of the skills as well through families.
Men and women?
Men and women. In fact, it employed a lot of women. Because women were smaller, they could get into the looms to thread them up, and they had nimble fingers. And when you talk to any of the former workers now, they can almost very quickly just show, oh, this is how you retie a broken warp thread and just do it really quickly. They also did a lot of the handiwork after the blankets were woven. So they did a lot of the quality checking and also the cutting and stitching around the blanket, the ribbon around the edges and putting the labels on. And some of that was piecework, because some of it was delivered to women working from home. So it actually it was a big employer of women in the mill, but also at home. I believe that the women didn't get paid as much as the men, which is, what happened.
What's new?
Yeah, exactly. But it was significant in that it was an industry that women were really a part of.
And was it government owned or
no,
private family?
No, privately owned, and it changed owners over the years as well. So by the time it closed in the 90s, the company that owned it then owned two other mills, so one in Albury and one in Warrnambool. So it had spread out. And the 90s was when most of the mills in Australia closed down because it was cheaper to make internationally and get them brought in.
So how long has it been non-operational?
It closed in 1993-94, and at that point it had struggled on for several years. The company was deciding which of the three mills it was going to close, and I think from what I understand the locals felt like the choice to close Lobethal was fairly arbitrary, and there was a sense of injustice of that, and there was an assumption on the behalf of the company that the local workers would then move to Albury or Warrnambool because they had skills that those mills didn't have. But these workers were, you know, they lived here, their families were here, they didn't want to move. So there was a lot of pain in the community at that time when it closed down. There was real shock and sadness of this, you know, generations of people who'd worked there. And it impacted the town, you know, when it was there, you couldn't be there without knowing. It was noisy, you could hear the noise of it, the whistle blew. There was one of those steam whistles, a steam operator whistle, and that was what marked the beginning and end of shifts. So the people in the town would say, yeah, you know, at 12 o'clock you'd hear it go, and all the shops that sold lunches would get ready for the onslaught of people coming out. You know, Friday night there'd be the top pub and the bottom pub, and people would, you know, turn up there after the last shift.
So were people working day and night?
Yeah, sometimes they did crank up to 24-hour shifts when they had a big commission on to get things happening. So, and there were husband and wives at work, and sometimes the husband, you know, on when it was those 24-hour shifts, that they'd share the childcare as well. So they'd talk about, you know, one of them cook meals and one of them be home for the kids, and then they'd swap. So, it was quite an employer. So when the mill closed, my understanding is it was owned then by the state government because they'd been, you know, supporting it and propping it up. And then it was given to the local government of the day, which has since amalgamated into Adelaide Hills Council. But at the day, I think it was Onkabringa Valley Council. But under the proviso that they used it to create jobs to replace those that had been lost. So it became an enterprise centre. And became Adelaide Hills Business and Tourism Centre. Eventually, that was run by Adelaide Hills Council. And so over that time, different businesses came and did, you know, business startups. And to the point that now, over the last 5 or 10 years, the businesses that are there now are quite established, and they're now starting to purchase their buildings. And there's predominantly food operators there now. And there are as many people now working on site as there were when it closed. So it's quite a significant achievement that this site has not only been preserved because they've used it, but it has been re-employing people. It's a lot quieter now, so you don't necessarily have that impact on the town. But there's the local beer house, so he makes beer, so that's brought beer back to the site again. That's where it started. There's Simon Greenleaf, who does wine. He's in full production at the moment. There's Fruitwise, which are a dried fruit company. Then there's Emmeline's Bakery, who have a huge output, and sometimes they have 24-hour shifts going of baking. You walk outside and go, oh, chocolate cake, I can smell it. Where's the back door? There's Arda Delights making cheese, and there's Bessa Juices across the road, and Henstock Engineering and a few other smaller companies. But it's pretty much a food production area now, so which is quite exciting for the town. And all through that time, that transition, there have been local artists finding vacant rooms and colonising them, really, having artist studios or doing exhibitions or workshops. So there's always been the arts in there somewhere as well. Over the last few years, a group of artists and community members got together and said, look, we really think that while it's good that, you know, other buildings being sold off and they're going to be looked after by private business, there should still be some part of this site. It's so significant to the community. There should be still some of it open somewhere for the community to have access to. So they advocated to the council that it become an arts and heritage hub, an arts hub. And they did so by colonising it and doing stuff, getting grants and demonstrating that they could hold events and people would come to them as well. So it's a really good story, I think, too, of how community can...
You don't hear it happen very often. With a community galvanised like that.
Yeah.
And make it happen.
They're really clever with it in a really, you know, in a good way, that they really strategic. They thought about what they could do. They got it happening. They got some strategic grants, and then they invited council to come and see. And they collected all their stats, all their visitor stats and all their sales stats. And then from that, council did a community consultation. So the council needed to go through its own normal processes. And so that we did community consultation to make sure that the wider community felt that was a good use of the building. And then from that, they engaged a consultant to come up with a concept and a plan for how it could happen. And that was such a detailed plan. It looked at 5-year, you know, long-term financial plans and a whole range of what the site could become. That was adopted by council in 2018. So they've committed themselves to an arts and heritage hub in the old mill at Lobethal.
And what was the actual plan? Was it gallery style?
Yeah, so it's a kind of a mixture of things. So with two kind of goals, with one goal of connecting community and community development kind of a role in council kind of language, and economic development to attract people to come to Lobethal and the surrounding Adelaide Hills. So it had those two kind of areas. And so the big picture included using four buildings to create exhibition spaces, spaces for people to do art workshops, artist studios for people to come and see artists at work, and also for artists to be supported as a small business to get skills in, you know, developing their own practice as a working business. Retail and accommodation for an artist in residence, so you can have an artist living there. An interpretation telling the story of the mill so that people can visit and know the significance of the site. An overall theme of textiles, linking it into the history of the site. I arrived in 2018, and one of the first things I needed to do was find the name for it. And of course, something like the old mill would be great, but there's lots of old mills around. So we ended up deciding on the name Fabrik, which is spelt with a K, F-A-B-R-I-K, which is German for factory or mill. So it's got that nice connection. So it links in with the German settlers that arrived there as well as linking in with Fabrik and the actual textiles. And then all the other beautiful metaphors that come with that, that what was articulated in the framework that the consultant created was that we would become the home for textiles in South Australia.
Wow.
So that's kind of, that's quite an ambition. And now I'm at the point going, right, so what does that mean? What do we need for that? So I'm about to launch on a project of consultation with our textile community in South Australia to go, well, what would you like it to be? What can it, you know, to understand what that could be. Do we have a collection? Does it mean we... Are we just interested in textiles in South Australia? But what about textiles in other parts of the country? And what about First Nations textile practice? Is, you know, incredible and really diverse across the country. And then what about textile practice, traditional practices across the world as well, you know, Indonesia and, you know, beyond.
So you so came much. Into this as director in a really exciting time.
Yeah, I keep pinching myself. It's great. So, yeah, so I'd been operating for a couple of years, and we were really just we were applying for funding to develop the site, but instead of just waiting until we've got that, because it's a state heritage listed building, which means money. Like, a lot of it needs to be brought up to just basic fire safety standards, for instance, those kind of things. So while we were working on the funding applications in various ways, we were also just connecting with the community, doing programming, exhibitions and workshops as a way of understanding the site as well, which has been a really good thing, because if you want to redevelop a site, it's good to kind of know it well and be engaging with the community first. Yeah. So that's been informing that as well. So we've been busy doing that. And then, yes, in 2019, December the 20th, the fires came through. So it was a catastrophic fire day. And I'm usually not at work on a catastrophic fire day. My bushfire, we all have bushfire action plans when we work for Adelaide Hills Council, because we live in a fire area. And I was like, what am I doing at home? Lobethal is a safe, you know, a allocated safer place that you would go for refuge. You know, I'd be fine there. And then I watched as the fire moved when it happened.
Did you go there?
No, but I was watching, you know, the CFS, because you get glued to the CFS app watching what's happening and going, Cuddly Creek Fire, it's coming towards Lobethal, and then seeing the photos, and it just surrounded the town.